In this episode, Patty and I are going to discuss a very common question we receive: how to balance the masculine and feminine. We all have both forces within ourselves, and they both, of course, have their time and place. They both have their virtues, and they both have most certainly a toxic side as well. And it's not an easy task to balance them. It's not an easy task to maximize the benefits while not slipping into the toxic expressions of these things. And though me and Patty don't claim to be the end-all, be-all experts with this, I can honestly say we've come a long way, and we found ways of using both forces to benefit our lives, both literally and spiritually. And the intention of this episode is funny because we recorded an entire 30-minute version of this like an hour ago, and I didn't like it because we were just sort of like chatting about it. So I'm going to ground it in here with the intention here is to communicate in a way that can help people if they're feeling either stuck in one domain, conflicted in how to utilize both forces, or just want to hear our own subjective journey with it. Because, you know, earlier in life, I was very much overly reliant on my masculine and Patty and her feminine. And over the years, we've kind of crisscrossed into both worlds for varying purposes, exploring both the virtues and also the darkness of each. And, you know, what I want to say is something that I wish I would have heard, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So welcome to another episode. My name is Victor, and I'm here, of course, with Patty.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, so the first thing I want to say comes from, like, Carl Jung. He talks about the archetypes. Archetypes are these, like, I don't know if you know this exactly, babe, but they're like these very like solidified, unified, singular expressions, you might say. So like the masculine, for example, is an example of that. It's an archetype. It's a force. It's not the whole. It's not perfect. It has benefits and it has shortcomings. And Carl Jung says we all have a connection to what he calls the collective unconscious, where these archetypes live, these archetypes exist. And they actually, according to him, they influence us tremendously. The masculine, everyone has a masculine side. Even if you're like on paper, a very stereotypical, you know, feminine woman, for example, there's a masculine side there. And same with like the most burly, tough warrior, you know, UFC fighter type of person. There's a feminine side as well. And we all have them. And what Carl Jung says is kind of interesting about these archetypes is he says they're not necessarily, and this is his opinion, they're not necessarily like benevolent. They kind of like, if you let one of them sort of drive your life, it'll be happy, but you're going to have imbalance in your life quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it requires us, the conscious personality, to use discretion and mindfulness to kind of tame these forces that are oftentimes very contradictory within ourselves. And again, it's no easy task. So I think I'm happy to be creating this episode. Is there anything you want to start with, babe? Or I can kind of keep going, but.
Well, I think one of the things that you said that just really sticks out is you said the word conscious, right? And for me, it's like self-awareness, right? That consciousness of the self. And I think that having that self-awareness of, okay, where am I leaning too much into my feminine? Where am I leaning too much into my masculine? And just having the awareness, and that's sort of what kind of helps to create that balance, right? Having that consciousness, that self-awareness.
Yeah, yeah. But of course, it can be difficult sometimes.
Of course.
Sometimes you're aware of what is needed, but it might be the opposite of what you'd like to do.
Exactly.
You know?
But then that's also takes that self-awareness to know that.
Yep.
Right? Because it's like that it's not an unconscious thing anymore. It's become a conscious thing. It's like, oh, I'm really, really in my masculine right now, but I want to find that balance between the masculine and the feminine for this particular situation, right?
Yeah. And I think that's also where the difficulty lies. I think many people are seeking for this sort of balance where the pendulum is even, mm-hmm. or the balancing scales, rather, not the pendulum, but the balancing scales are exactly level. Mm-hmm. And once you find this elusive balance, then you're good. Then you can stop having to, you know, be so present and mindful, and you're good. You've nailed this. And what I found is that we oscillate between the masculine and the feminine all throughout the day, all throughout the week, even like longer seasons of our lives. Mm-hmm. It can benefit us to be really in the masculine or really in the feminine, you know. Like, for example, when I started my business, I came out of a period of like a several year almost hibernation after my spiritual awakening, where me and you, for a while, we weren't even working. We are literally just sort of like
living off our savings.
We're living off our savings. I was juicing and like fasting and meditating all the time and lucid dreaming and purely wholeheartedly diving into like the spiritual dimension, because at the time that served me, because that was exactly what I had been lacking probably my whole life up until that point. Mm-hmm. So it made sense to be in balance temporarily to find out who I am, to find out what my purpose is, to find out what matters to me. So it was a real shock for me when it came time to build the business. It was like, oh, it was like, this feels like force. This feels like resistance sometimes. This doesn't feel right to me, mm-hmm. you know? And I had a lot of like negative connotations with that, because I had been so spiritual for so long that, and I say spiritual, I mean, I've been so focused on spirituality for so long that, again, the idea of like making myself do something against what feels natural to me in the moment, it just felt wrong. And yet that's exactly what I needed, mm-hmm. because our life was a mess and I needed to kind of step it up. Nothing? Okay.
I mean,
it's okay. What did you say to me before the podcast?
I literally said, because of the context of the conversation, I feel like it's going to be less talking from me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll have your moments, but if now you don't feel inspired to say anything,
I don't know what to add to that. That's all.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, that was complete.
Yeah.
With what you said. I mean, I've had similar scenarios too, where it's like, I was much more in my masculine than what was needed as well, you know, and then over time sort of found the appropriate balance of because for me, my perception of being in a leadership position was like, that is a masculine role, right? And not really understanding at the time fully like what my purpose was of being in a leadership position, I took it on as like, this is masculine, so I'm going to be as masculine as I can for this sort of thing. Like, I got to have that things regimented, and it's got to be a certain way, and da-da-da-da. And that created a lot of like inner turmoil within myself. Mm-hmm. And over the years of being in a leadership position and realizing that my purpose of being in a leadership position is not to be masculine, it's to be a feminine masculine leader, right?
Yeah.
And so to show up in a feminine way in something that I thought was a masculine, it took me years to sort of find the balance that I have now of being a strong leader while also still using my intuition to guide me in those moments.
Yeah, it's both. It's
right.
Both. It's both.
Of course.
It's like not all masculine. And I think that's one of the interesting things I see, honestly. I see so many people are kind of like making a claim for one over the other. When to me, it seems so obvious that they both have their place. Now, I can sympathize, and I think I understand where a lot of that comes from, because I think collectively, there's a major imbalance, obviously, over usage, too much focus on the masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a collective, humanity has become so disconnected from its divine origin, the feminine, you might say,
mm-hmm.
that it's absolute it's like chaos out there in the world. There's so much suffering unconsciously being inflicted upon one another. And I think that's because there's been like a disconnection from that feminine. So I think collectively we're kind of seeing, and I think it's kind of neat to live at this time because, you know, some of my heroes, they noticed when this was happening. Like Carl Jung, for example, I read about him a lot. Even William Blake, who came way before him, they would talk about this. They kind of saw, you know, as like science was advancing and logical thinking and industry was coming online, like all these things were kind of like, you know, people were excited about because it was like making life more comfortable and easier and faster and more efficient. But like some of these like seer type folks, they saw like, oh my God, people are becoming insane. This is horrible. This is like leading to war and all this craziness. And it's a sort of a slippery slope and we're sliding down like a freaking avalanche. And they kind of saw it. And now what we're seeing, we're, you know, fast forward to now, we're seeing the rebalancing of it, even though it's kind of messy. So I think it's a really neat time to be alive. But I think that's why perhaps some people are like, they like demonize the masculine because they have been exposed to so many toxic expressions of it that it just seems all bad. But it's not all bad.
Right. I also think it's, you know, the other aspect is also true where the feminine was sort of demonized as well, mm-hmm. because you had the toxic masculine that was in control that saw the powerful feminine, right? And was intimidated by that. So then it was, okay, women should be seen and not heard, right? And they have their place. Women have their place at home, right?
Yeah.
And so then it sort of created this underlying energy from the feminine of shutting down. So then now what you're seeing is in like sort of the like ultra feminist movement, that's the like toxic feminine coming forward because the feminine's been pushed back so for so many years.
Yeah.
And so now you have an overcorrection with the toxic feminine coming out and sort of like demonizing the masculine. But really, that it's almost like the same thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's an expected corrective thing that just has to kind of.
Of course, there's always an overcorrection, yeah. right? With anything, whenever you're figuring things out, there's an overcorrection, and then you find that balance.
Yeah, like, and I think it's a natural thing that we can all just be patient for. With
that,
I suppose I even see it in my own life in smaller ways. Like, for example, what comes to mind is. I don't remember the specifics, but there was a time when I really like, I had a big breakthrough about like my self-worth and I realized how much I was like holding myself back. So, but once I realized that I kind of like came out and like did this overcorrection and became kind of almost cocky and inflated for a short time. Mm-hmm. Like that wasn't the answer.
Right.
And like you were raising kids, you were in your feminine and all of a sudden you're running a retreat. And you like jumped into the masculine full force.
Right. Well,
and it's a bit like unnecessary.
Yeah.
And you had to kind of like almost like a pendulum go back and forth until you find like, OK, this is more mm-hmm. of a balance.
Right. And part of that, in my defense, right, part of that was because when it came to taking care of the kids, it was like, oh, I'm going to just do it all like because that's what I'm going to do. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I transferred that over into the like leadership role.
Yeah.
When it was not appropriate.
They were children you were tending to. It was
like exactly. adults and stuff. Exactly. Exactly. They were grown ass people that I was like in charge of guiding, not in charge of telling them what to do per se.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's like it's an interesting task we all have. As we're all most people, I would say, are semi-conscious, us mm-hmm. included. Mm-hmm. We're not excluded from that. We're sort of conscious now, luckily. Mm-hmm. And as we're kind of waking up and partially driven by, you know, intuition and our truth, also partially driven by our shadow and our unconsciousness, mm-hmm. we're kind of like playing around with these different powerful energies, the masculine, the feminine. And I think most people, if they're honest, are in a period of experimentation and trying to find their balance. But I think some people, they look at us. I've heard people say, like, you're a perfect blend of masculine and feminine. It's like, no, that's not at all true. I think some people think that they need to be like to have this perfect balance. Mm-hmm. But I think the reality is if we can all just admit we're all just trying out these forces, seeing to what degree they help us, it can allow us to make this sort of transition much more smoothly without, you know, trying to shortcut the process, without shaming ourselves because we're comparing ourselves to so-and-so, mm-hmm. without, you know, blaming one or the other. It's like, right. It's like, listen, you got to have both, obviously.
Yeah.
And how to use both in every occasion, to what degree, it's like, it's a mystery. It's a work in progress, pretty much everybody.
Yeah, and I also just think that it's important also to honor and allow what is natural for you, right? Like for a man who it might be natural for them to be more feminine.
Yep.
And allow that. And you can still incorporate more masculine energy into certain things. But if it's natural for you to be more feminine, then you need to allow that. Because if you try to force the masculine in when it's not natural for you, like for example, our daughter,
yep.
Maya, she is, I would say, the perfect androgynous, right? She is female biologically, but she has very masculine energy. She's gay. She dresses masculine, but sometimes she'll wear makeup if she wants to. And I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but she does like to, you know, have nice nails sometimes and things like that. And she is very much in tune with in the moment. One day she might want to wear mascara and another day she might want to wear, you know, very masculine clothes. And
yeah.
And she's okay with whatever it is that she, however she feels in that moment in each day. And I think that it's, you know, for me, it's a beautiful reflection to show like you can, you're allowed to fluctuate between being in your masculine and being in your feminine, regardless of how you were born biologically.
Absolutely. I think the key here is just being authentic.
Yes.
And I think even within, and I don't think that necessarily implies that everyone's going to find this perfect like blend.
Right.
I think some people are going to be naturally more masculine and some people more feminine. And
mm-hmm.
and sort of you might even see these ironies. See, what comes to mind is this one guy, Vince, we've known. He's like 6'6", black belt jujitsu, total badass. But he's like, you talk to him, he's a sweet, he's very like calm and gentle and mindful. His like personality is so like, not innocent, but pure and sweet. But he's like this big guy, you know. And
yeah.
I've met some tough cookies, some little women who are like badasses that you would not
yeah.
mess with powerful people. And some people might look at that and say, well, she should be more feminine. That's her role, and he should be, you know. But I think it's also okay to have a bent, have a particular leaning, because maybe that's just the path you chose in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say we all have to find the middle way and stay there? That's kind of boring.
Right.
It seems to kind of contradict how nature expresses itself. It expresses itself in polarity. And I think we see so much of it, and there's so much conflict that results in everyone trying to put everyone in a box.
Yeah. I like to say there is no should or shouldn't.
Yeah.
There is only what is.
Yeah.
And the best thing that you can do for yourself is honor what is natural and then make the necessary adjustments where you see fit.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned a lot of my balancing, I would say, with business and having like a creative business, because you learn pretty quickly that if you try to be too much of a pure artist, you're going to be broke. You will be the starving artist if you don't do some of the things that you need to do to like make money
mm-hmm.
and actually build the structure out of a business. Even William Blake, he was this famous, he's someone who's a true genius visionary. And he like almost epitomized the feminine in a way, the way his art came from such a deep place within himself. But it was said that his wife would keep him in check. His wife would like run the business and sell his paintings and things like that. And she'd keep an eye on him. And she'd say, William, I noticed yesterday you spent an entire day contemplating your painting in the backyard doing nothing. So today we're going to sell some canvases. So it's like what I mean by that is like having like a creative business you really have to leverage both.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be one over the other. And I've gone in both directions in a negative way. For an example that comes to mind, kind of funny. Whenever we'd run these Costa Rica retreats or go to Sedona,
mm-hmm.
you know, me and Aaron, he's my business partner, we'd have these amazing ideas, these feminine inspirations, you might say. And we're like, we're going to do this. and then we'd get back to like Austin and he'd get back to LA and we'd be like, oh, that's you need to think about that a little bit. We need to kind of logically kind of like suss that out, because as pure as it felt in the moment, it's got some holes. It's not the end all be all. And it's going to take a lot of work to kind of get off the ground. But in the past, we would just get these ideas and run with them and then have to learn the hard way why it was kind of a dumb idea not to like think it through a little bit more with some like logical reasoning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then consequently, I've gone in the other direction where I've done things in my business that made perfect sense on paper, maybe were even shared with me by like a mentor or something. But I never ran it by myself, my own instincts and my own internal self, you know. And then I would do it, and even though I put in the work, even though it should in theory be ideal for business, it would either fail or I would end up not doing it because it wasn't necessarily authentic. I didn't take enough time to ask myself, is this actually really my calling to do
mm-hmm.
this? Is this really my highest excitement and passion? And then within like the workday can be kind of tricky. For example, this podcast, you know, last week this day, me and Patty just sort of like got our microphones out and just recorded it, and it flowed. We had no preparation whatsoever, and we thought to ourselves, this is how we're going to do it. We found our little niche, you know, we're just going to show up and flow with it.
Woo, woo.
And what happened today?
Well, we recorded half of one podcast, an entire other podcast, and here we are now.
Yeah, because we didn't put much thought into it. We just kind of winged it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's the way to go, sometimes not. How do you know? You don't always know. You got to just sort of try and experiment sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of our coaching clients, you've seen, you coach in the full-time purpose. A lot of people run into that. The balancing of their creative side with like the masculine like side. Like filming a video, for example, feels wonderful, but editing the video feels forced and negative and no one wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's necessary, you know? It's you really got to embrace both. I think to like, if you're like trying to create something big in this world, you're going to need both.
Yeah.
If you rely on one, you know, you see that if you only rely on the masculine, you can succeed in this material world and you see it all the time. But I guess that depends on what your definition of success is.
Right.
Power, material accumulation, you can do it. You can swing it. But if you're looking to create something that's, you know, a beneficial asset to the whole that fulfills you and is a win-win for everybody, you're going to need the feminine on your side. You can't stray from that very much at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Patty's got nothing. He's got to go it off. All right. Well, how much time do we have? You want to just cut it? Any last words?
I think, you know, like the big takeaway from...
I know what we can talk about before we do final words.
Okay.
And I bet you'll have something to say. Is that cool?
Let's just blow with it.
I don't understand that.
What?
Here's my bullet points, honey.
I don't want it.
No, one thing that we did mention in the previous episode that we're not going to release because it was kind of all over the place that I do want to put in here is we've worked with a lot of people who have kind of wounding around either the feminine or the masculine. And it can be tough when you were exposed to a toxic expression of either one of those in like early childhood. I've seen it create like an aversion, almost like a negative connotation and a fear. If I'm like, you know, a masculine thing, for example, is to like in a sense to speak up for yourself, like to assert yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a boundary. But sometimes I've seen people, for example, where they associate that with being angry and aggressive,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I think a breakthrough for a lot of those is to kind of see that you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to, like for me, for example, like, you know, I still have times because, you know, earlier in my awakening, I was in my feminine for so long that I have this still this to this day, kind of a fear of relaxing. You don't know that. You know this. I have a difficult time relaxing because I have a negative connotation. If I relax too much, my life is going to kind of fall apart, which is kind of what happened many years ago. So it's a struggle sometimes, but I try. I try to relax. I understand that relaxing doesn't mean laziness. It doesn't mean the toxic feminine. It doesn't spell disaster. It's a work in progress for me. And, you know, I told this other story about a retreat we ran one time when there was a woman. We were all in Sedona climbing these mountains. And there was a woman who at the time she came to eventually share that she had almost an impossible time trusting the masculine because of her past. But she was in this kind of interesting situation where we were climbing up this rock and she had to get up this next step and she couldn't do it on her own. And the person who was there to kind of lend a helping hand was one of our friends, Josh, who was helping us. And when he helped her up, she like paused because it was like a moment for her. It was a moment that took a lot of courage to trust the masculine. And I could see her hesitation because I was right there. I was kind of witnessing this thing right in front of me. I was like on the same step as her, kind of watching, waiting for her to get up. And I saw, oh, wow, she's paused here. She's like, she doesn't know if she can trust his hand. And the interesting thing is if she didn't trust his hand, she would fall. But in that moment, I think she knew this is like an opportunity for a breakthrough. And she took his hand and almost like reluctantly, and he kind of pulled her up with some masculine force. He had like really like heave her up. And she got up there and she looked around. She saw Josh and her face said it all. She had a phenomenal breakthrough. Just to kind of go to show you, like, you know, we might have our hangups, we might have our past and our history, but we're also living in a time where we can break through. It just takes that conscious decision, and it can be scary. It's scary for me to not do anything for the day. It really is. I know it doesn't make sense, but it is. It was scary for her to take that Josh's hand, but I'm doing it. I took it easy today, minus this. And so just to kind of show you guys, if you've been stuck, don't lose hope on yourself.
Yeah. And I think it's also... you know, I also think it's okay to like allow yourself to explore, right? Like the feminine and the masculine in either direction, even to maybe like an extreme. It's okay to explore those things, because if you don't explore, then you don't really know what's natural, right? You don't really know what feels good and natural for you. And then you won't have the same self-awareness of like, okay, I was raised by a very masculine woman. So I in turn became a very masculine woman energetically. And I didn't feel safe being a feminine woman in touch with my feminine energy, right? I felt like it was... the only way that the feminine would be safe is if it was a masculine feminine.
Yeah.
Right. And so I had to explore really being in my feminine and allowing, which was very uncomfortable for me. And then when I went back to being in my masculine, it was like very jarring. And I had some real awareness of where it was not balanced for me and how long it had been unbalanced, where it was like, oh, this is how I would normally have been, but this is actually not what's natural for me, right? So what you think might be natural for you, this is essentially what I'm saying, is what you think might be natural for you actually might not be.
Yeah. And I would even go to say what you think is in balance might not be in balance.
Right.
Like what the time calls for. Like for you, you probably needed to go through that extensive period of exploring the feminine to kind of, for whatever reason, like what comes to mind for me is like running, like starting a business, you know, to get it off the ground, I had to be in my masculine, like definitely more often than feminine. Like I really had to work hard. And some of the drawbacks of being like overly in the masculine is I was tired a lot.
Yeah.
I was getting sick a lot. And it wasn't a balanced way of living, but it was a necessary thing to get our family to where we are now, in a place of balance, you can say, and security and things like that. It wasn't going to happen if I stayed super balanced the entire time. I had to really kind of go almost excessively temporarily into the masculine to kind of create something out of nothing. And some people would look at that as, well, he's imbalanced. Well,
it was a necessary imbalance.
The imbalance isn't that simple. It wasn't a necessary imbalance, you might say, on paper, but it was like what the situation called for. It was my dharma. It was my duty at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, we could probably go back and forth all day on this, you guys. But listen, just want to share our piece for what it's worth. We're not we're not experts on this, but hopefully you got something out of it. And with that said, if you want to join our once a month, Patty and I, we do these transformation ceremonies. In fact, we have a breathwork session coming up in a couple of days, actually. You'll have missed it, unfortunately. But I post it.
Way to do that.
I'll do it again, I swear. But we do other things, too. We do like past life regressions, future life progressions, QHHT style. Patty has a lot of wisdom to share, a lot of teachings, a lot of good stuff. And roughly once a month, we're going to be gathering people for free on Zoom for the purpose of essentially growth in some capacity. And if you want to be a part of that, I'll leave a link in the description of however you're listening to this. You just simply click it and you put in your email, and then it will send you the Zoom link in the day and time of the next one. You'll be in the loop, basically. So anyways, thank you so much, my friends. God bless.
Thank you. Bye.